It's contagious. Our spirit is contagious. One person's out there, it's contagious. And that goes both ways. I saw this one guy. Yeah, he was big, tall, muscular, kind of looked rough and rowdy. He ran up to the door for a lady and opened it right up for her. It makes you think, man, I should open doors. Somebody's out serving the Lord, it makes you think, man, I could do that. I'll tell you what, I'll be honest, this is not the message. Just verily, verily, I say unto you, I don't like to sing in front of people. I like to sing alone a lot and loud and obnoxious. I don't like to sing in front of people. It's not my comfort level. I don't mind preaching, but I can't sing. Maybe you noticed this. But you know what? It's us taking a step of faith. I'm going to step out. I'm just going to serve. I might fall. I might stumble. I might fail a lot, but I'm going to step out. And I'm going to do what God's called me to do, even if I do fail and stumble and get back up. All right, that's not anything to do with today, but hallelujah, that was free. And get your money's worth. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to be bouncing around for this first part. We're going to, I guess a good way to say this is we're going to lay a foundation and build the house and then cook something in the kitchen. I don't know. But Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to go through some verses and we're going to set some principles for something, and nothing is going to be new, just something that I've been thinking about. It's convicting. It's convicting. I'll just leave it at that. Hebrews chapter 13, and we're just going to be looking at several verses here, but I want to talk to you about little pitchers have big ears. Moms, anybody ever use that phrase? Little pitchers have big ears. What does that mean? Hey, be careful what you're talking about. Your kids are listening, right? Without saying, hey, shh, Johnny's in the room. That's a way, incognito, for parents to communicate with one another to say, hey, somebody's paying attention to what we're talking about. Let's keep our mouth shut. Right? That little pitchers have big ears. What I want to talk to you about today is little pitchers have big ears. Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 2, the Bible says this. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Hey, what a fantastic verse that is. That's convicting and encouraging at the same time. Maybe I've come across some of God's host. What did he find? I don't know. Maybe I failed that day. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. But what I really want to look at is if sometimes we've entertained angels unawares, what about evil spirits? Is it possible if God's host, God's angels, interact with us, that Satan's host interacts with us, and we may or may not even know it? So let's pray first. And then we'll get into this. Little pitchers have big ears. Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you that we can know you. God, we can know ourselves. God, we can know the cure. We can know Jesus Christ as our Savior. God, I pray that today our hearts would be stirred for you. God, that we would have a heart and a burden to reach the world. And Lord, we're going to fail. We're going to stumble. And God, we're going to mess things up. But I'm so very thankful that you're a God of grace and mercy and long-suffering. God, help us to never quit. God, you didn't quit for us. You were on that cross. You could have come down. You could have called legions of angels. But you stayed there. You bore the shame. And you suffered the death on that cross so that we could have life. God, help us to suffer through Christianity in this life so that others might know you. Lord, bless the message. Stir our hearts. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. Just a couple pages to the end of the book. 1 Peter chapter 1. And again, we're going to go through a bunch of verses real fast. Make a little bit of comment. But most of the comments are going to be the same. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 12. The Bible says this. Well, I'm going to back up. I'm going to read a little bit of this context. Of which salvation the prophets, okay, he's talking about our salvation here. Verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Now watch this last part. All of that for this, which things the angels desire to look into. Our salvation is so fantastic. The prophets didn't understand it. And it wasn't until the Holy Spirit, using the men in the beginning of the church age there, really started to understand that the justification by faith, by grace, through faith alone, the book of Romans, right? That was the mystery that was not revealed until the church, until they started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Which things the angels desire to look into. And I kind of get this picture that they're just peering into our church services. Look at these people who could have been out doing whatever on a Sunday night. They're in here singing praises, worshiping God, looking for what God has for them in His Word today, when all the rest of the world is forsaking God. And they're looking into this. So I wonder this. If the angels are looking into it, are the demons? Are they looking in saying, we got to get this crowd? We keep going. I'll read this one to you. You turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and I'll read this one to you. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 17. You guys know this story. Elisha and his servant are surrounded, and the servant's so worried. And Elisha has this simple prayer. Lord, this is in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 17. Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Right? And I kind of wonder if Elisha has ever seen the host before, or if he was just like, Lord, give him faith like I have faith, you know? And then Elisha looked up and he was like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that, but that's cool. No, probably not. Probably Elisha already knew what was coming, right? But the servant looked up and the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. That tells me that there's a spiritual battle, spiritual forces all around us. Outside these doors right now, there's good spirits and there's evil spirits. And they're both fighting for us. Both of them. And as Elisha and his servant looked up, they see this mountain full of horses and chariots of fire. Hey, that's an amazing sight. But what if the Lord was to open our eyes right now and it would scare us to death? And we saw the demonic forces all around us. Surrounding, circumspect around this building, ready to pounce at any moment. Hey, if God's angels can do it, why can't the devil's angels do it? Just a thought. Okay, next verse. You're in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. This is a good one. I got to get there. I'm sorry. So Ecclesiastes chapter 10 kind of goes with the title. And it's another phrase that we say, and maybe we don't know where it came from. A little birdie told me. Right? You guys have heard that. You've probably said that, right? Well, that's found right here in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Look at verse 20. He says, curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Hey, a little birdie told me. But listen, if they're all around, they're listening. And little pitchers have big ears. Be careful what you're talking about. Now, we're going to come back to that point and really hit that point at the end. But I want us to be careful because they're listening. And what are they hearing us talk about? What are they hearing us say? Whether it's God's angels or the devil's angels, what are they hearing us say in our homes? What are they hearing us say when we're out with our friends? What do they hear us saying when we're coming into church? What do they hear us saying? I kind of wonder if, and we're going to get to these spirits here in a minute, if maybe they don't, wait a minute. Hey, he's got a word of bitterness. Mic check. Hey, Brother Barry, he let his guard down. He's talking bitter thoughts. And it perks the ear of the devil's angels. Hey, we got an open door, guys. Let's go. I wonder. I don't know. Can't prove it. Job chapter 1. If you're in Ecclesiastes, it's Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. But Job chapter 1, fantastic story. We're going to look at verse 7. And again, you're familiar with these verses, right? Job chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says this. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it, right? I'm just strolling through the earth. Well, Peter helps us understand the real answer, right? The devil's given a half-truth. A half-truth is a full lie, right? We can agree on that. If you're withholding some of the truth, you're lying, right? That's what the devil, hey, I'm just taking a walk, taking a stroll through the earth, walking up and down in it. Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Hey, he leaves that part out conveniently. Hey, I'm just taking a stroll, God, seeing who I can devour. Peter illuminates for us. So what am I saying? There's a great spiritual battle for your soul, for your souls. And I don't think that's the one that we want to see visually. I think it would scare us to death. But it is happening. It is happening. Now, that was the spiritual realm is listening. And little pitchers do have big ears. And I believe that they are watching and looking into us and listening and waiting. But now, I want to look at the spiritual realm is working. Now, Brother Barnhouse preached, he preached it here, and then he also preached a little bit differently at camp, where he was talking about, and I understood this principle, but I've never articulated it this way, that the spirits, there's evil spirits that perhaps have very specific ministries, right? So, for example, take your Bible and go to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Now, this is a great story anyway. Micaiah, this is where we get his name from. And there's a prophet, and Ahab wants to go, and Jehoshaphat wants to go and help Ahab, and so they call a prophet and get his advice, but they don't really want God's advice. We're going to come back to that, hopefully, here in just a little bit. They just want to do what they want to do, and they want somebody to justify what they're doing. Anybody else? We talked about that today in our Sunday school class. Hey, I've made up my mind. God, back me up here. No, none of you. I understand. Just me. So, 2 Chronicles chapter 18, and I don't want to read all of these. Let's look at verse 18. Again he said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spake, saying after this manner, and another saying after that manner. That's interesting. God had a board meeting in heaven. That's really interesting to me. Like, hey, what are we going to do here? Not that he didn't know. Watch this. Then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee, a true and real spiritual being was causing them to lie. That lying spirit came on them and caused them to lie to the king. So this spirit had power to cause these prophets to lie. And if you could do a simple study throughout the Bible, just type in, if you have any kind of a Bible program or whatever, spirit of, or, you know, if you want to do it the hard way, spirit, and there's like bazillion references to that. But listen, these are some bad ones. There's a spirit of infirmity. There's a spirit of divination. There's a spirit of bondage. There's a spirit of slumber, teenagers. Oh, I just don't want to get up today. I want to stay in bed till 2. Hey, just know you might have an evil spirit not possessing you. Because if you've got Christ and the Holy Ghost living in your heart, you cannot be possessed, but you can be oppressed. And they surely can be whispering things to you. But that spirit of slumber. How about spirit of fear, spirit of antichrist, spirit of lying, which we just looked at, the spirit of jealousy, the spirit of deep sleep, the spirit of heaviness, the spirit of whoredoms. Those are all negative spirits that you'll find, and there's more throughout the Bible. But there's some good ones too. The spirit of wisdom, spirit of understanding, spirit of judgment, spirit of grace and supplication. Spirit of truth, spirit of holiness, spirit of meekness, spirit of faith, spirit of grace, spirit of glory, spirit of prophecy. See, God's got his, and the devil has his, and they're fighting for us. Right? So we might say, and it's an interesting thought, why doesn't God just put it down? Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 45. It's an interesting verse, and it's kind of puzzling to think about when we read this verse. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 7. The Bible says this, Isaiah 45 and verse 7. I'm just going to read it. The Bible says, I formed the light. Well, let me read verse 6. That they may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. So we're clear who we're talking about here. Verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do these things. So where's all this come from? It comes from the Lord. Now, that's kind of confusing. God's holy. He's of purer eyes to behold evil. But understand this. Before God said, let there be light, there just was. Right? Right? God, in all of eternity past, just was. And I don't know what that is. I don't understand it. I can't wait to find out what that was like. But God just was. So when he said, let there be light, that means now there's darkness. Because there was no light before, so there just was. But now God's made a divide. There's light, and now where there is no light, there's darkness. Because darkness is the absence of light. If we were to turn all these lights out in here and light one little match, well, there would be light. It wouldn't be much light, but there would be light. And the darkness flees from the light. So before God created light, there just was. There was no light and darkness. Understand? Just was. Before evil, before the fall, there was just God. God is holy. There's just godly. But now, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So sin, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, right? We have the devil with his sin of pride, saying, I will ascend above the heights, right? All that, I think he uses 13 I's. I'm going to do this in my pride. Right? Before, there was just God. And now, evil stands in condemnation because they're against God. So God thereby created evil because he is good. And everything that is opposed to God, is anti-God, is evil, and God is good. So when Satan and his minions seek to go against God, they're evil. When we choose to go against God, we're evil. But God is always good. He can only always ever be good. Revelation chapter 5. In verse 6. What I want you to see is some of these things that we might go through, fear, heaviness, jealousy, lying. It's very possible that there's a force behind that that's against God, that's against you, a spiritual force. Revelation chapter number 5 and look at verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. So seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Take your Bible now and go to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And if you don't get there, that's fine. I'm just going to start reading. Isaiah chapter 11. I'm going to be in verse 2. Now, I don't know if this is it, but there are seven here. It's just interesting. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord, that's one, shall rest upon him. And he's talking about the branch. He's talking about Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Seven spirits that are going to be on Jesus Christ. Perhaps attributes of the Holy Ghost. All of those are attributes, perhaps. Perhaps they're spiritual entities. I don't know. But if God has his, hopefully we understand that the devil has his. Right? Now, verse 3, or point number 3, the spiritual realm is limited. The spiritual realm is limited. Go back to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. In Job chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 8, 9, and 10. Well, really 8 and 10, but God paints a picture of who Job is. This is not Job giving his testimony. This is not even another church member giving Job's testimony. This is God. This is what God has to say about Job. In Job chapter 1, look at verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? None like him in the earth. What a testimony. A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God not? Verse 10, hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. And listen, that idea of a hedge of protection, I pray almost every single night for my family when we're sleeping. Lord, put a hedge of protection about my family. Because Satan said, I can't get to Job because you put a hedge about him. If you'll take that hedge down, I'll be able to get to him. And he wants to get to him. And I don't want him to get to my kids. And I don't want him to get to my church family. And I don't want him to get to me. We need a hedge of protection. But this is what I want to look at with you. Job first started building that hedge when he chose to serve God. When Job says, I'm going to get the filthy music out of my life, Job started building a hedge. And I'm going to put some godly music into my life. He's removing that filth. He's building a hedge. Why? Because that takes out all those wicked spirits. And listen, there's fornication, there's drunkenness, there's wickedness in our music today and in our pop culture music. It's wicked. And if you don't agree with me, you don't agree with God. Sorry, not sorry. You say, I'm going to have my music and eat it too. Fine. You're going to be missing part of your hedge. Job says, I'm going to get that out of here. Job says, I made a covenant with my eyes later on in the book. Why then should I look upon a maid? Right? Job says, I'm going to get this fornication out of my life. I read it, spirit of whoredoms. Hey, I'm not even going to let that wickedness into my life. I'm not even going to give it a place in my family. Get it out of here. I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes first. I'm not going to even go there. Guys, that would be good for us. And that would be good for us to teach our young men. Don't even go there. Don't even open that door. Don't even let that part of the hedge fall short. Right? Job says, God says about Job, he's perfect. He's upright. He feared God and eschewed. He hated evil. Now, may I borrow you and you, Frank, may I borrow you? Come down here. Does this go down here? Will it ring if I come down? No? All right, please. So here we have this fine young man. Please, sir. Right here in the middle. And here's what I think. He's got a hedge of protection. He's got a father who loves him, who wants to see this man succeed and become a man of God and do right and have a family one day with kids just like him. Hey, man, that's a parent's curse, by the way. Hallelujah. Right? And then he's got a grandpa over here. Right? And he's, what are they doing? They're hedging him and he's got a pastor right here. And then he has the wicked one. That's me today. And I want to get to him. But his dad is making sure he's not looking at filth on the internet. Now, dad's not doing that either. But dad's making sure his son's not doing that. So I want to come in with this spirit of whoredoms. I want to come in and ruin his life and show him things he shouldn't see at his age. And dad says, nah, not in my house, buddy. We're going to serve the Lord. Right? Amen. And then I'm going to come in from this side, and grandpa's over here. You don't need to go to church. And grandpa says, hey, get that mess out of here. That's for pastor. That one's, I shouldn't have used that for you. That one's for pastor. I was going to say something about having such a sweet and wonderful spirit, but... Sorry, Brother Frank. That's all right. But his grandpa's over here and he's praying for him and he's loving him and he's interceding on his behalf and he's teaching him, hey, this is what God's word says. And when the devil comes in and his minions want to get Elijah from over here, his grandpa says, nuh-uh. No, sir, that's my grandson. Get out of here. And then he has a pastor, right? And you don't need to go to church, right? You don't need to be here. And he has a pastor that loves him. But here's what we do. And don't ever do this. Dad, I hate you. We get into a little argument, right? And listen, father-son things, it don't have to be like this, but it is sometimes. And we start using harsh language. I wish I was never born. I wish I was never part of your family. And here's what happens to your hedge. Thank you, sir. It's gone. And we say, I don't need to go to church today. I'm just going to stay home and watch Oprah. It's almost the same thing. And I'm going to send my money to Jimmy Swaggart and get his prayer hanky. I know he's praying for me fervently, and I know I could call him anytime I have a spiritual need. And he says, I don't need to be in church. And then he loses this part of hedge. Thank you, Pastor. And then there's Frank. And he looks at him and he says, you want to fight? And then they get to it, because Frank doesn't take that mess from nobody. And then Frank's gone, because he got an attitude, right? He was like those Boanerges, those sons of thunder. Remember that story? Lord, let us call down lightning or thunder from heaven. Not thunder from heaven. That didn't. Let us call lightning. He says, you don't know what spirit you are of. Sons of thunder. You don't know what spirit. You know what that is? Hey, man, don't you know? You can call down thunder and just destroy them. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. That's wickedness influencing you. Peter saying to Jesus, this was used recently, Lord, you're not going to go to the cross. And the Lord rebuked him. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Right? And you know what? You had a hedge. You had people in your life that are invested in you, that are surrounding you, that are praying for you, that are loving you and trying to help you grow in the Lord and protect you from the mistakes that they made. And you pushed them all away. And now your hedge is gone. Thank you. Give them a round. Hey, tell your teacher you get 10 extra points on your test. I don't know if it's going to stand in court, but you can tell them I said so. It doesn't carry any weight, but. Now, I understand in Job here that Satan says, "God, you put a hedge there." But each of us have people in our lives, and it could be a spouse, it could be our grown children, it could be loved ones, it could be church members that we have in our lives to protect us. And sometimes we tear it down. We tear down that hedge of protection. And what that does is it allows Satan to get into us, to get into our lives, whereas before God said, "You're protected." So here's what I wonder. Wicked movies, carnal music, gossip. Right? I wonder if they're listening. Hey, Scott's over there. He's talking about da-da-da-da-da. The hedge is down. The hedge is down. We got him. Let's go now. The only thing that we can do is begin to build that thing back up. If there's something in our lives that's not right, and we know it, but we're saying, "God, I'll give you everything, but I'm not going to give you my pet sin because I like him. He's my friend, and I got to have him." And that's what Satan's going to use. And that's what these evil spirits are going to use. And it might be serving self. It might be bitterness, it might be pride, it might be fear, it might be slothfulness, it might be sorrow, where depression gets us to a state that we can't even think on God and praise God. Let me tell you, it could just be that the devil's got an opening and he's using it. What do? Call him out on it. Brother Barnhouse said this. I think he was here and he said this. Bring that thing out into the light. "God, there's wickedness that is causing me to be bitter." Cast that thing out. And then whatever it is, build that hedge back up. Through forgiveness, through whatever it is. If it's something in our life that needs to be cast out of our life, build that hedge back up. Why? Because they're looking and they're hunting. "Walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And he's just looking for an opening. I saw a documentary about dinosaurs in a place called Jurassic Park once. And in this documentary, it talked about how the dinosaurs would look for a chink in the armor. Right? A weak spot in the fence. And it'd just go over and it'd just test Brother Rick here. I'm going to test him on bitterness. Nope, he's always bitter. That doesn't work. All right, just kidding, brother. Well, let's test him on this. Let's test him on sorrow. Hey, let's test him on taking his finances away. By the way, do you know what God allowed Satan to take from Job? Everything. And he still didn't curse God. And retained his integrity. He took everything from him. He takes my car. I pop a tire. Or I had a coil pack go bad recently. And it's going blah, 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 down the road. I'm thinking, hallelujah. I broke a motor mount or whatever. It was easy. It was an easy fix. $30. Hallelujah. We get all frustrated, don't we? Satan took everything from Job. And here's this man. Deal with his integrity. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What would we have to lose What would we have to lose? What would Satan have to do to us to get us turned away from God? We all have something, right? The Bible tells us that he takes us at our will, takes us captive at will. Satan's got our number. The only hope that we have is to build that hedge and build it tall and build it thick. And that means we need to be as godly and close to God as we possibly can. That means we need to get everything that might allow Satan into our life out of our life. For our kids' sake. For our church's sake. So, what do they hear us talking about? And whose ears does it perk? And is there some hedges that need to be rebuilt? Father, thank you.